Welcome back to another episode of the Mattress Advisory Podcast. For today's deep dive, before we jump into the main event, I just want to invite you to check out the links in the article we're looking at today. You can score an exclusive discount through those, so you know, definitely take advantage of that before you buy anything.
Yeah, absolutely. Those discounts are they're pretty substantial, so don't miss out.
Right. So, you know, when you really sit down and think about it, buying a mattress is, well, it's essentially the highest stakes blind date you will ever go on.
Oh, that is a perfectly accurate way to describe it.
Right. I mean, you swipe through all these glossy pictures online. You read these perfectly crafted marketing profiles about how, you know, it's going to completely change your life.
Yeah. And then you drop a serious amount of money.
Exactly. You drop $2,000 hoping it works out, but you don't really know what you're dealing with until you actually spend the night. It is incredibly intimate. It's highly stressful. And if it's a bad match, you aren't just mildly annoyed.
No, you are literally going to feel it in your bones the next day. It's a massive physiological commitment.
Yeah, and unlike a bad date, you can't just, you know, politely excuse yourself and sneak out the bathroom window if it turns out to be unsupportive.
Right, you are tethered to that decision. 8 hours a night, every single night, while your body tries and potentially fails to repair itself.
Which is precisely the mission for our deep dive today. We are looking at a stack of sources detailing real user experiences, actual complaints, and the physical engineering behind the Helix Dusk Lux.
Yeah, the Dusk Lux, it's a big one.
It's a premium hybrid mattress, and today we're throwing out the marketing fluff entirely. We're dissecting the Reddit threads, the physical blueprints, all of it.
The unvarnished reality, basically.
Exactly, what people are actually experiencing once that mattress is unrolled in their bedrooms. Okay, let's unpack this. Why are we leaning so heavily on anonymous long-term user reviews today?
Well,
I mean, if I want to know if a mattress is comfortable, shouldn't I just go to a showroom, lie on one for a bit, or rely on those 100-night trials?
You would think so, but no. The showroom test is, frankly, one of the most deceiving experiences in the modern consumer landscape.
Really? Deceiving how?
Well, think about it. When you walk into a brightly lit store and lie down on a mattress for, what, 5 minutes?
Yeah, maybe 10, if the salesperson is busy.
Right, and you're wearing your jeans, your winter coat, maybe your shoes. Your body isn't actually resting, your brain is alert.
Oh, because I'm in public.
Exactly. Your core muscles are still engaged, basically subconsciously guarding your spine. You aren't relaxing. Plus, you have to factor in that the specific showroom model has been laid on by hundreds, maybe thousands of other shoppers.
Oh, wow. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, it is heavily pre-broken in.
So it's essentially false advertising by attrition.
That's a great way to put it, yeah.
The bed in the store physically just does not match the stiff block of foam they ship to your house.
Precisely. To actually understand comfort, durability, and how the materials behave, you really need long-term data. You need to know what happens on night 30 or, you know, night 100.
When the materials actually settle.
Right, when the polyurethane has adapted to the specific ambient temperature of your bedroom and the sustained 8-hour wait of your unique skeletal structure.
Well, before we get into where this mattress fails or succeeds for people in the real world, I want to understand what we're actually evaluating. I'm looking at the blueprints and the spec sheets here. And the Helix Dusk Lux is not a cheap piece of foam.
No, it's definitely in that premium tier.
Depending on sales, a queen typically ranges from about $1,899 to like $2,099. That is a serious investment.
It is, yeah.
And physically, this thing is massive. It's 13.5 inches thick. They call it a hybrid, which I guess essentially means they're sandwiching different layers of technology together.
Right, exactly. You've got foam layers on top for comfort, and those sit on top of traditional steel coils for support.
Okay, but then they throw around all these proprietary terms for the cover. They say it's capped off with a hypoallergenic cooling cover made of either Tencel or something called Glaciotex.
Yeah, the cooling tech.
Are these just, you know, fancy marketing words for polyester, or is there actual science happening here?
Oh, there is actual science, particularly with the cooling tech. So Tencel, that's a semi-synthetic fiber made from eucalyptus wood pulp.
Wait, wood pulp? Like trees.
Yeah, eucalyptus trees. It's naturally hydrophilic, meaning it physically pulls moisture, like your sweat, away from your skin.
Oh, okay.
And it disperses it so it can evaporate quickly. So that's moisture management. Glaciotex, on the other hand, relies on thermal management.
How does that work?
It uses phase change materials woven right into the fabric.
Phase change, like changing from a solid to a liquid.
Exactly like that, but on a microscopic level, the fabric contains these tiny microcapsules filled with specialized substances. When your skin temperature rises above a certain threshold, the substance inside those capsules absorbs your excess body heat and literally changes phase from a solid to a liquid.
Wait, really? It melts inside the mattress cover?
Essentially, yes. And by absorbing that heat energy to change states, it pulls warmth away from your body, leaving the surface feeling cool to the touch.
That is wild.
It's permanently engineering the cool side of the pillow effect.
Okay, that actually sounds incredibly advanced. But moving past the cover, the key structural detail that Helix advertises everywhere is the firmness.
Right, the 6.5?
Yeah, they rate the Duskalux as a medium firmness, specifically a 6.5 out of 10. And I have to be honest, as a skeptical consumer, I look at a 6.5 out of 10 and my alarm bells go off.
Why is that?
Well, is this just a lazy compromise? I mean, is a 6.5 the mattress equivalent of ordering mild salsa at a restaurant?
Mild salsa.
Yeah, like, it's perfectly safe, it won't offend anyone, yeah. But it completely lacks character and ends up pleasing absolutely no one, you know what I mean?
I do, and it's easy to assume it's just a watered-down middle ground. But what's fascinating here is the engineering. They're actually trying to solve a brutal biomechanical math problem.
Okay, what kind of math problem?
They call it the Goldilocks approach. Mm. If you think about the geometry of the human body, your hips and pelvis are the heaviest, densest parts.
Right, lots of bone and mass there.
Exactly. But your shoulders are much lighter, and they have sharp, bony protrusions.
Like your shoulder blades and your collarbone.
Right. So if a mattress is uniformly firm from head to toe, your heavy hips stay elevated perfectly, but those bony shoulders hit a brick wall.
Ouch.
Yeah, the foam doesn't give, the nerves in your shoulder get compressed, and you wake up with dead, tingling arms.
I hate that feeling.
We all do. But conversely, if the mattress is uniformly soft, your shoulders sink in and feel wonderfully cradled, but your heavy pelvis just keeps sinking down.
Like a bowling ball in a hammock.
Yes. And that hammock effect throws your lower spine entirely out of alignment, creating a fulcrum of pain right in your lower back.
So a flat block of foam, no matter the firmness rating, is just always going to fail some part of your body.
That is the inherent flaw of uniform mattresses, yes. To counter this, the Duskalux uses a zoned coil system.
Zoned? Meaning different zones have different coils.
Exactly. The individually wrapped steel coils are physically thicker and more resistant right in the middle third of the bed under your hips to provide serious pushback.
Oh, that makes sense.
But the coils at the head and the foot are a thinner gauge. They're noticeably softer to allow your shoulders to sink and relieve that pressure.
Okay, so the 6.5 rating isn't because the whole bed is medium.
Right, it's an average of the subtle zoning. It's designed precisely to fit the widest range of sleepers without them feeling like an awkward ledge in the middle of the bed.
Well, theory and engineering blueprints are fantastic, but reality is always a little messier when actual human bodies are involved.
Always.
When we dive into the Reddit reviews, the actual lived experiences of people taking this thing out of the vacuum sealed plastic, we see some massive hurdles right out of the gate.
The break-in period.
Yes, the notorious break-in period. We have a user named Tilar who complained that after two nights, the dusk felt way too stiff.
Two nights is definitely not enough time.
Right, and another user, the Planet Earth, talked to customer service and was warned it can take about a month for the mattress to soften up. Why on earth does it take 30 days for a bed to act like a bed?
It comes down to the cellular structure of the polyurethane foam layers sitting on top of those coils.
The foam itself needs to break.
Not break, but soften. When foam is manufactured, it's essentially a massive network of tiny microscopic bubbles or cells.
Mm.
In high-density foam, those cell walls are rigid and tightly packed.
Okay.
Furthermore, foam is highly viscoelastic. That means it reacts to temperature and physical pressure.
So when you get a brand new mattress,
those cell walls are stiff. They've been dormant in a warehouse. It literally takes 2 to 4 weeks of your 98-degree body heat warming up those polymers, combined with your physical weight constantly compressing and releasing those cells to artificially age and soften the struts of the foam.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though, because as the person sleeping on it, I'm trying to figure out if my new mattress is just temporarily stiff or if I've made a terrible $2,000 mistake.
It's a very stressful 30 days.
It's like buying a new pair of shoes.
Yeah.
How do you know the difference between breaking in a stiff pair of high-quality leather boots, which, you know, are absolutely going to give you blisters for a week, but will eventually mold perfectly to your feet.
Right.
Versus just stubbornly wearing the completely wrong shoe size, I mean, how long should a sleeper actually suffer through morning back pain waiting for these foam cells to miraculously break down?
That is the million-dollar question, and it's the source of the most intense friction in the user reviews.
I bet.
The general physiological rule is to give it at least 30 days. Not just for the foam to soften, but for your own muscles to unlearn bad habits.
What do you mean by bad habits?
Well, if you've been sleeping on a sagging mattress for 5 years, your muscles have adapted to a dysfunctional posture. Proper alignment is going to feel sore at first.
Oh, because your back is finally straight.
Exactly. But your boot analogy is spot on, because sometimes it genuinely is just the wrong shoe size. And we see that clearly with the complaints from heavier sleepers.
Let's talk about those complaints. Mm-hmm. We have user Intercontinental 001. This user is 6'2" and weighs 225 pounds.
Okay, a larger sleeper.
Yeah. And they noted that they really liked how plush the pillow top initially felt. But very soon, they realized their pelvis was, quote, really sinking now, causing pain.
Yeah, that happens.
But wait, if this bed has a zoned coil system specifically designed to push back against the hips, why is this guy sinking into a crater?
Because the physical limitations of the foam have been exceeded. The Dusk Lux is built with a recommended weight limit of up to 250 to 300 pounds per sleeper.
Okay, but he's 225. He's under the limit.
He is, but even if you are under that maximum limit, concentrated weight radically alters how the comfort layers behave. The plush pillow top that feels luxuriously supportive to a 140-pound sleeper is going to be completely crushed by a 225-pound sleeper.
Wait, but if they crush the foam, shouldn't they just bottom out and hit those firmer coils we just talked about? Shouldn't that stop the sinking?
They do hit the coils, but here's the mechanical issue. The foam compresses completely flat under the hips, meaning the hips are resting almost directly on the firm steel.
Ouch. Okay.
But under the lighter shoulders and legs, the foam isn't fully compressed. It's still thick and plush.
Oh, I see.
So the hips are physically sitting lower in the structural profile of the bed than the rest of the body. The spine loses its neutral alignment and bends unnaturally, putting immense continuous strain on the lower back ligaments.
So to bring back the salsa analogy, for a heavier sleeper, this 6.5 firmness isn't mild salsa at all. Under that kind of weight, it's just watered down soup.
Watered down soup, yes.
It entirely lacks the structural integrity they need to keep their spine flat.
Exactly. The Dusk Lux isn't a bad mattress. It's just the wrong tool for that specific job. Sleepers in that profile actually needed to pivot to a much firmer model in their lineup, like the Twilight Lux.
Or maybe something built for heavier weights.
Right, like the Helix Plus, which is engineered with higher density foam specifically for higher weight.
But, you know, a sinking pelvis isn't just an isolated tragedy for your own lower back. If you are sinking that deeply into the foam, you are creating a physical crater in the middle of the mattress.
A literal sinkhole.
Yeah. And if you share that bed, gravity dictates that your partner is eventually going to roll down into that crater with you.
Which brings up the ultimate relationship test.
Motion transfer.
It really is the ultimate test. Sleep deprivation from a restless partner breeds deep, deep resentment.
And yet, despite the issues heavier sleepers face, couples in these sources absolutely adore this mattress.
They really do.
We have a user, Ghani Forek, who wrote, quote, "The motion transfer on this thing is a product of really great science. You can barely feel movement at all."
That's high praise.
Yeah. And another user, Datbeard B, praised it for isolating movement perfectly. But as a skeptic, I have a functional question here.
Go for it.
If the mattress is absorbing all this kinetic energy every time someone tosses and turns so you don't feel it, does the bed feel like quicksand?
Ah, that quicksand effect.
Right. Do you lose that traditional supportive balance that makes it easy to actually change positions or, you know, just get out of bed in the morning?
That stuck in the mud feeling is the primary fear people have with all foam mattresses. But this is exactly where the genius of the hybrid construction shines.
How so?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, this precise balance of isolation and bounce is why hybrid mattresses have practically taken over the premium market.
So how does it physically trap the motion without killing the bounce?
It all comes down to controlling the direction of the energy transfer. To understand this, we have to look at the history of mattresses for a second.
Okay, take me back.
Old school inner springs used bonal coils, which were all tied together with a continuous steel wire.
I remember those.
If you push down heavily on one spring, that continuous wire pulled the springs next to it down as well. That is horizontal energy transfer.
The classic ripple effect. Your partner gets out of bed, and you basically get launched into the air.
Precisely. But in a modern hybrid with pocketed coils, like the Dusklux, each individual steel spring is wrapped in its own fabric casing.
So they aren't tied together?
No, they are not physically tied to their neighbor. Each one operates completely independently.
Oh, it's clever.
So you still get the structural bounce and pushback when you sit on the edge or push off to stand up, because the specific coils right under you are compressing and rebounding vertically.
But the energy doesn't travel sideways.
Exactly. The foam layers sitting on top of those coils act as dampeners. When your partner drops into bed, the vertical compression on their side doesn't travel horizontally through the foam to your side. The kinetic energy is trapped locally.
So you get the traditional, responsive inner spring feel. You don't feel trapped in a foam pit, but you get the modern motion isolation.
You get the best of both worlds.
That perfectly explains why couples are raving about it.
Yeah.
But, you know, even if the specs sound perfect for your sleep style and your relationship, dropping $2,000 on a massive piece of furniture you still aren't certain will work for your unique body is terrifying.
Oh, it's a huge leap of faith.
It is, because if it fails, I'm stuck with a 13-inch monolithic block of useless foam. So how does a direct-to-consumer company actually mitigate that intense consumer anxiety?
Well, they have to heavily de-risk the purchase up front. Otherwise, the entire online mattress industry would just collapse.
Right, and the sources detail some pretty robust safety nets here. Helix offers a 100-night sleep trial, free shipping, free returns, and a fairly rare lifetime warranty.
The lifetime warranty is definitely a standout.
But I'm always cynical about these return policies. Returning an unboxed mattress is notoriously difficult. I mean, it's like trying to put toothpaste back in the tube.
It's virtually impossible.
You cannot shove a fully expanded 100-pound California King hybrid back into a cardboard box and just hand it to a mailman.
No, you definitely cannot.
Yet, in the sources, user LurtT23 noted their mattress was sinking. And Helix not only allowed an early return before the 30-day window closed, but they coordinated a local charity pickup and issued a full refund.
That charity pickup is a crucial logistical detail, but we should probably look at the economics behind it.
Economics? I just thought they were being nice.
It's easy to view that purely as excellent, altruistic customer service.
Yeah.
But it's actually born out of necessity.
Really?
Yeah. Freight shipping an unboxed mattress back to a warehouse across the country would cost the company hundreds of dollars.
Oh, because it's no longer compressed.
Exactly. By partnering with a local charity to take the donation, Helix saves massive freight costs, they get a tax write-off, and the customer avoids a complete logistical nightmare.
Wow. So it's a win-win-win, but driven by the harsh realities of freight economics.
Mostly, yes.
Still, it saves the consumer the headache, which is really what matters. Mm-hmm. Beyond the returns, there's another major theme in the sources regarding transparency.
Yes, the transparency is huge.
User Outrageous Job 4320 highly praised Helix for their material transparency. All their mattresses are CertiPure US certified.
Which is important.
Yeah, meaning they are made without harmful chemicals, heavy metals, and have low VOCs.
Volatile organic compounds.
Right, which is what causes that terrible chemical off-gassing smell when you open cheap foam. Plus, Helix explicitly lists their exact foam densities and coil counts right on the website.
They do.
So looking at this certification and all these density charts, what does this all actually mean for the buyer? I mean, why is this level of transparency considered rare in the industry?
This raises an important question about the long, frankly murky history of mattress sales.
Murky how?
Historically, the mattress industry has thrived on total obfuscation. Brick and mortar stores rely on the name game.
The name game.
Manufacturers will make the exact same mattress, but give it 10 different names for 10 different retail chains, specifically to prevent you, the consumer, from making direct price comparisons.
Oh, that is sneaky. So they slap a fancy proprietary label on it, like calling a basic layer of cheap polyurethane, I don't know, Cloudrest Ultra Core.
Exactly like that. They invent subjective buzzwords and fiercely protect the actual physical specs.
Wow.
If a company refuses to list the density of their foam, you have absolutely no way to evaluate its durability.
Because density equals durability.
Yes. Foam density is simply a measurement of mass per cubic foot. How much actual polymer is in there versus how much empty air.
Okay, makes sense.
High-density foam has thicker cell walls, so it withstands years of compression. Low-density foam is mostly air. It feels great on day one, but those thin cell walls crush and break down within a year, leading to severe sagging.
So by listing the exact foam densities and explicitly stating the coil counts, Helix is essentially showing their math to the public.
They are. They are treating the consumer as an informed buyer. And when you combine that transparency with a willingness to openly update their designs based on user feedback,
which the sources note they frequently do, to prevent premature sagging.
Right. It bypasses the old sleazy salesman trope and builds an incredible amount of brand trust.
It's the difference between a salesman saying, "Trust me, it's comfortable," and an engineer saying, "Here is the exact physical density of the polyfoam we are using to support your lumbar spine."
Exactly. It's refreshing.
Okay, let's bring this all together. Based on our stack of sources, the unvarnished user reviews, and diving deep into the structural blueprints, here is the ultimate summary of our findings. The Helix Desk Lux is a highly versatile, technically impressive, medium-firm hybrid. It legitimately shines for couples who desperately need motion isolation to save their sanity.
Absolutely.
And it is a fantastic, pressure-relieving fit for side sleepers or combination sleepers who weigh under 250 pounds. However, it is not magic. And it's not for everyone.
Definitely not for everyone.
If you are a heavier sleeper, or you are strictly a stomach sleeper who needs rigid, unyielding support to keep your pelvis from creating a crater, the plush pillow top is going to betray your lower back.
It will.
In that case, you should bypass the Dusk entirely and look at firmer, denser options in their lineup.
It is a meticulously engineered tool, but as with any tool, you have to verify it's the right one for the job at hand. And, you know, as we wrap up this analysis, I think there is a broader, almost philosophical question here that this entire deep dive points to.
Oh, I like where this is going. Lay it on me.
We spend roughly a third of our human lives on a mattress. We endlessly obsess over finding the perfect bed.
Guilty as charged.
We scrutinize the specs, we debate foam densities on Reddit, and we search for this flawless, static surface that will adapt perfectly to our bodies.
Right.
But given how radically our bodies physically change over a lifetime due to aging, significant weight fluctuations, pregnancies, athletic injuries, or just the natural degradation of our skeletal structure over decades.
Oh, wow.
Are we chasing an impossible solution? I mean, are we trying to find a static, unchanging piece of furniture to solve a constantly evolving biological problem?
Wow. Are we expecting a block of polyurethane foam and steel coils to miraculously keep up with the fact that we are entirely different people, physically, decade to decade?
Exactly.
That is a fascinating, slightly terrifying thought to leave on. You might do all the math and find the perfect mattress today, but 10 years from now, your completely changed body might demand a totally different relationship with gravity.
We are dynamic creatures sleeping on static objects. It's a relationship that requires constant reevaluation.
Which brings us right back to the blind date. You could do all the research in the world, check all the specs, understand the physics of phase change materials, and ask all the right questions.
But eventually.
Eventually, you just have to take the leap, bring it home, and see if the physical chemistry is actually there. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the Helix Dusk Lux.
It's been fun.
We hope you take these insights, the biomechanical warnings, and the engineering facts with you the next time you are staring down a massive high-stakes mattress purchase. And again, before you go, don't forget to check out the links in the article for that exclusive discount we mentioned earlier. Sleep well, and we will catch you on the next one.